and get off the path of fulfilling our dreams and our goals. And we may feel lost, but the beauty of it is for us that are children of the Most High God, just like that good shepherd would leave the 99 and seek out to find the one, God will not leave us out gone, out there alone, but he will seek us out. You know, the scripture does tell us that Jesus said he will be with us always. And the only thing about that is it really applies to him not leaving us, him walking the life with us. But sometimes in our life, we get hard-headed, stiff-necked, disobedient, and we wander away from the presence of God. We wander away from the will of God concerning our lives. The beauty of it is God still sees us, and he's simply waiting on us to make the turn to come back home. So many of us heard the story of the prodigal son, but that reminds me just simply the scripture from Revelation that if we would draw close to him, he would draw close to us. So just like that prodigal son, the father, he saw his son afar off, and he ran out to meet him even before he made it back. The beauty is our God loves us just that well, that he will run out to see us as he see us turning to come back home. So whatever your challenge is this evening, I want you to know we're never lost, and we're just one prayer away.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. Your hand is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me out. And right now, I know you're able. And
Scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. That means with Christ, we truly can do all things but fail. That means we can win. So the next time before you give up without putting up the fight, before you throw in that towel, understand this, that greater is he that is within me, you, us, than he that is in the world. God is amazing and the way he does things. So trust him. Let him do what he does. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to go into prayer before I go on any further in the program. We definitely want to be praying. So many things happening in our world today. I'm not sure where you're hearing this from, whether you hear it in the United States or you're in one of the many other countries that we are blessed and fortunate to be able to be heard by. The Bible tells us that men are always to pray and to faint not. It is commanded of us to pray, to have a conversation, communication, with God. He wants not only for us to hear from him, but he desires to even hear from us because he's a personal God. He wants us to talk to him. You think about a parent that is well-to-do. They already know the needs of their children, and they already have accepted their obligation to provide for them. But every now and then, that parent wants to have a sit-down conversation, just father to son, or mother to daughter, or vice versa. They want to have that solid conversation where they have the understanding, hey, I got you. And one of the greatest things we can do as parents is to reinforce every thought behind our children when they believe that we got them. We need to be always there. Our words need to, our yes need to be yes, our no's need to be no's, and we must be people of integrity. And the more we are able to do that, the more we are able to enjoy our very own lives that God has given us and purpose for us. Amen. So remember, our prayer in this segment is for our top 10. Our 10 most wanted prayers. Our 10 most wanted prayers that do not include me directly. Or anything around me directly, but indirectly, it may involve me. Indirectly, it may benefit me, but we want to pray for those that are less fortunate than we are. We want to pray for God's strength to provide for those that don't know where their next meal is coming from. We're so blessed in this country that we really don't understand what it is to be starving. All of us, I'm quite sure, in the States have felt hunger at some point in their lives, but we don't understand true poverty, what it is to have a big stomach, but not because you're eating too much food, but because some other things are going on with you not eating, and gas is exploding in your stomach, causing you to have that bloating position because of what the lack thereof. So we are to be real mindful of everything that we do because God is watching. Yesterday we heard the conclusion of the matter. The whole duty of man was to fear God and keep his commandment. Real simple. Very, very, very simple. All right. And so let's just go in prayer now. For those 10 most wanted. Excuse me, I am a little tired, so I hope my voice is not coming across a little sluggish or anything of that nature. Hopefully you all are able to hear me pretty clearly. But as we go forward in prayer, we really want to be praying for our communities, that God's favor, that God's grace will be there to help our communities to grow and develop. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now to say thank you. Thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for the things that you're doing. Thank you, Lord God, that you love us. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for being God all by yourself. You love us, and there's nothing we can do about it. But the best thing we could do is to love you in return. So, Lord, we just say thank you for considering us to do the things that you have given us to do, the charge that you have given us in our lives. And so, God, we lift up those that are unable to get to church because of disability, because of challenges that prohibits them from coming out into the public. God, we first of all bind the spirit of fear. We bind every form of fear. We know whom the Son set free is free indeed. We know that by his stripes we're healed. And so we just thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you for the things you already set in motion concerning us. And God, we just say thank you. We continue to lift up our parents to you, Lord God. Lord God, in their age, years, Lord God, that you will keep them safe from unseen hurt, harm, or danger. That you will continue to provide for them like never before, Lord God. And God, I just thank you right now, even as we pray for our local mayors, Lord God. And sometimes so politics can be so iffy, Lord God, but we thank you right now, Lord God, that you're still in control, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are able, Lord God, to change our circumstances, our situation at a snap of a finger, Lord God, at just a spoken word, Father God. And we thank you now. And so, God, we continue, Lord God, to pray for our pastors, Lord God, our bishop, those in leadership role as this new year begins, Lord God. We want them not to be weary already. Well, Lord God, that they will reap if they faint not. So we bind the spirit of fainting, Lord God. We bind the spirit of quitting. We bind the spirit of laziness, Lord God. We bind the spirit that anything that's contrary to your will moving forward, Lord God, we bind it now. And we say thank you, Lord God. And we ask that you will work on us, Lord God, and help us to create a better position where we are able to help those that are in need of help. But somebody needs just somebody to listen. Somebody needs somebody to pray, a prayer of faith, Lord God, and not waver in the prayer, Lord God. Somebody, Lord God, need a hug. Lord God, and we're praying right now for whatever condition, Lord God, that we find surrounding us, Lord God, that we are able to step up to the plate, that we are able, Lord God, to help meet the needs of those things that are going on. And, Lord God, we thank you now for giving us our right frame of mind. We thank you right now, Lord God, for just touching our bodies, Lord God, that we may be a work to the kingdom of heaven. And we thank you now, Lord God, for choosing to use us the way you did, of the way you do. And, Lord God, have your own way, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, once again, we are just blessed to be here on this evening. Tasha Carter Leonard has a song, and we're going right into that at this moment. Yes, Lord.
Worship at your feet. I'll be right here at your feet.
Forever. At your feet, man.
And I'll be seated at your feet. Worship at your feet. I'll be right here at your feet. Forever, I'll make this vow, and I'll be always here to worship. That's where you want me, Lord. Forever, my favorite place. Worship. Oh, I'll be right here. Your feet. Let's praise it together. Say, I'll be seated in your feet. That's where you want me. So that's where I'll be right here. Your feet forever. Somebody tell them I'll be seated. I'm always here to worship. Oh, I'll be right here. I'll be here forever. Oh, and
I'm sorry.
Sometimes our problems is we move out of position before our blessing comes. Like catching public transportation and going to a bus stop. You know the bus is coming, and many times we have the program, the scheduling for that bus, and we know it comes during a certain time. But we can allow other sideline things to distract us and make us think that we can do this and that in time, and then before you know it, we've lost that time and we can't get it back. And so important for us to be mindful, to be about our Father's business. And so thank you, thank you, Pastor Carr, for that, the worship at his feet. I'll be right there and see. Amen. Very good. Amen. So I have one more, and then we'll jump into the lesson. And I hope it don't seem like I'm resting tonight. Once again, I am a little bit tired, so I'm just hoping my voice is coming through clear, that you're able to hear everything well. Ms. Nat King, you just let me know if I need to speak up or what have you. Amen. Uh-oh. One more moment.
Wow.
Yeah. Yo. I go by the name of Mario Winey. And this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Yeah. I bring to you my auntie, CC Winey. Yo, CC, drop that purse.
You think you can forever that mistake, but I know it's the only way you can make it better. And I know situations get too much for you to take, and you feel like you're gonna break, and it makes you say, I can't take it. Ooh. Ooh, I think it better. Ooh. I'm so frustrated, but it's gonna be okay, 'cause you got someone in your corner. Ooh. Gonna be there for.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
How do people try to escape depression? Self-preservation is the first law of life. If you break your arm, your first instinct is to shield it, to keep it from being injured or hit by anyone else. When you are emotionally wounded, truly wounded, you may do several things trying to protect yourself. Some people turn to alcoholism. Alcoholics always have a reason for drinking. It's their wife's fault, it's the husband's fault, it's the boss's fault. The birds are flying the wrong way. The dog barked at me when I came home. It's somebody else's fault. No, it's not. You took the drink, and the drink took you. You're hiding in a bottle because you're afraid to face reality. Alcoholism is not the answer. I'm not against drinking. I drink every day from this fountain of living water. It satisfies. It's greater than anything you'll ever drink. It's better than anything you'll ever taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's power in this book. There's an answer in this book. There's a God in this book who is the deliverer and who is the answer. Christ is your answer. Find him here. The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so and so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Thank you. I was muted. Get your Bibles out.
Pastor Bonnet, just to let you know, you're coming across good. You don't sound tired.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it. Amen. I so feel tired, so it must be God's energy. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go live here on Facebook for those of us that's on our Facebook platform. Amen. We're live here on the Motivational Monday, the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you on this evening. Hello, Facebook fans and friends and followers, and to all the listeners that's called in on this evening. I am one that is an advocate of taking notes and service. When I go to church service, I take down notes. I write down things that stick out to me in the message. Many times I'm encouraged to to build in onto my own sermons from what I've heard from others. And I quickly go and resound those things because I just believe that God didn't allow good preaching to come just so it could stay with one individual. Amen. So if I preach something and it resonated in you and you want to go share it with as many people as you can. Amen. Because that's what I'm going to do. Amen. And if God gives me a word to share, I'm going to share it. If I hear a good teaching, a good word, and it did something for me, motivated me, encouraged me, I want to use that same message to encourage someone else. This monthly emphasis is on purpose, but we have also a yearly emphasis. Each year, we try to start off each year with just an overall vision for that year. This year, I want to use the theme that God gave Pastor Calhoun, my brother, my real brother, gave him, and he utilized 2023. We went to the 20th book, which is Proverbs, and we went to the 23rd chapter, and literally got down to the 23rd verse, and it spoke volume. So, to you today, hopefully you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Amen. And Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 23. Reading from the King James Version, it reads as follows. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Heavenly Father, give us clear understanding as we take this scripture to heart and look at how it will bless us concerning our purpose in 2023. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Once again, so the overall yearly vision is buy the truth and sell it not. That means so much. And I'm sure, like coming up this Thursday, the other three ministers on this network, the four of us will be on Missionaries Ken's program, sharing we'll all be using the same text, but giving it as God gave each of us in our positions where we are, and we will be sharing that. So coming up this Thursday, I hopefully you are able to tune in, to listen. Whether you're listening online or called in on the phone, and maybe I may go Facebook Live that day to broadcast the program then. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, we want to be there if we share something out of the book of Ephesians. Amen. But today we're in Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 23, and it tells us to buy the truth. Now, in a society where commercialism is everywhere you go, people are buying many things. It's amazing. Everybody is always trying to sell something. Anytime a holiday season is coming around, especially Christmas, you got big businesses that they target their market. All of a sudden, you start seeing all the kids programs comes out where there are kids playing with other toys and imagining this and imagining that. And there's some kids sitting home saying, "Ooh, look, Mom, that I want that. I want that." And so we see new cars. We like the car we got. We enjoying the car. But all of a sudden, the new car commercial come out with the same model. And all of a sudden, the advertisement make it so good that we want to buy the next one. So something is always trying to pull our resources from us for whatever purpose. So what can we really get from this as Samuel, who gave us this proverb? As we look at this, what is he saying? What are we receiving from it when he tells us to buy the truth? So many times we want people around us that's just going to agree with us, and because we don't want necessarily the truth, we want our truth. And that's a dangerous thing today, and it's been a little movement here recently that I've been seeing people talking about, well, I'm telling you my truth, I'm telling you my truth. And you hear a lot of people saying, this is my truth, this is my truth. And they use it to justify or explain why they do what they do or did what they did or believe what they believe. Well, at the end of the day, after we get finished buying our own truth, there still remains the truth. And so the scripture says, buy the truth, not a truth. By the truth, that means something that is real, that's not false, and that's not one-sided. When you take a look in a mirror, standard mirror, not one of those circus mirrors that you can get in it and it make you 300 pounds and it make you look like you're 100 pounds. Mm-mm. Or vice versa, you're 150 and it make you look like you Hercules, full of muscles and everything else. No. But a genuine mirror, a genuine reflection, it shows who you are just as you are. And so many times, you know, we live in this illusion of trying to be one thing or another when we're not. You know, there was a saying back in the day, say, fake it till you make it. But the reality of is that we must learn to buy. When you buy something, it costs you something. When you go and make a purchase, that means something that you have in exchange for something that they have. And so to buy the truth, I must seek out for what is real. But they tell us to buy it, and then once we buy it, don't sell it. So it's not like Christmas where you re-gift something that somebody gave you because you don't like it. It's none of that. It is that after you spun wherewithal to attain it, then don't sell it. Now, you can take that two ways. You can take it as if when you go and buy souvenirs and things that you're going to pass on from your generation to the next generation. It's like I got baseball cards and basketball and football cards that I bought back in the 90s. And I bought them because of whose name was on the card. And not only do people trade cards, but they buy individual cards. And I had some individual cards that I knew that at some point it would have a greater value later. So I couldn't sell it because it was important to make sure I can pass it on to my son. And so I have them reserved for them so that at some point in their life, they'll be able to decide whether or not they want to use it for one reason or another or pass it on to their children. We do that in families. And so certain things that may take value, you may come in my house and I may say, that was my grandmother's. And you know, you may admire it, but that was her. She bought it and didn't sell it. So it was able to be passed on. The greatest thing that we have of any value is the knowledge of Christ. And having the knowledge of Christ, thank you. I'm about to lose my gosh, that. Amen. Down to 5%. Now that we have the knowledge of Christ, we don't sell that. We hold on to that. We pass it on. See, so it is not something I get rid of, but it is something to hold on to. So, but it, then it said also wisdom. So that means if I was to buy truth, then I'm also to buy wisdom. If I'm to buy wisdom, I'm also to buy instruction. And if I'm to buy instruction, I am to buy understanding. And one of the greatest things that can hinder anybody is when our understanding is the misunderstanding, and therefore is the reason why we haven't received the things that should have been already made available for us. You ever ask somebody for direction and they gave you the instruction, well, go this way, and then when you get here to this point, make this turn or that turn, and then you're going to go for so long, and then you're going to make another turn, only for us to do what we thought we heard and still have not made it to that destination. Sometimes we'll say, they gave me the wrong information. And we didn't, for a moment, surmise that perhaps I just followed the instruction wrong. And so many times we don't have what we need in this world. It's because we didn't follow the instruction. We didn't adhere to the plan. Or we didn't understand. And it's not something for us to be sad about, but it is for something for once we realize those things that we begin to make change, that we begin to make a turn, so that we will fulfill our purpose. So the Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The truth that I am seeking for is about me. So many times we're seeking truth about other people. Time out for that. Let's seek truth about ourselves. Growing up, complaining about school teachers not being fair, thinking they know this and that. One of the things that was said to us was to shut up and listen to the teacher. But they already have their education, and they're trying to educate us. Pay attention to what the teacher is trying to say. They have a job. We one day may have a job if we follow the instruction. And so even today, we still have to realize that the truth that I must seek after is not your truth. Why? Because this is not a counseling section. This is a development section, and I must develop me. One of the greatest things, or one of the greatest illustrations that we can give about how to really help someone is the one concerning airline stewardess or attendant. When you prepare to go on a flight, before the plane take off, the flight attendant will tell you some instructions. One of those particular instructions would be that in the case of an emergency and the oxygen mask falls down from the compartment above your head, if you are traveling with elderly or those that are sick or children, before you assist them, put yours on first. Put yours on first. Why? This is the thing. A lot of times we want to help people, but it's hard for me to help you get up, and I haven't stood up. You ever seen a mud fight? It seems like everybody trying to stand up, but they keep slipping on one another. That's what it's like when you don't understand how to secure you first before you try to secure someone else. And so seeking the truth is, let me get myself in position first. Let me verify this first. And once I verify it, now I can go back and help someone else where they need help at. So tell the truth. The truth about the truth that I am seeking for is about me. So it's not about nobody else. If I want to advance in life, the truth I need to be seeking for is the one about me. If I seek your truth, it's good for you, but it may be irrelevant for me. So I must seek the truth about me first. I want to give you 6 pointers that Pastor Calhoun pointed out to us that was just amazing. 6 points. Point number one. From this, and buying the truth and selling it not. Point number one is, we of a people must evaluate the position or title we hold. We must understand that or properly evaluate it. In other words, if you're a father you need to understand what a father's duty is. If you're a husband, you need to understand what a husband's duty is. If you're a wife, if you're a mother, you need to understand what those duties are. Get away from the world that's still saying to you, I don't want these gender roles. That's foolishness. So much foolishness, because the Bible gives you gender roles. From my lesson on yesterday concerning public worship, God gives gender roles. So for me to listen to you that said, I just want to get away from these gender roles, you're trying to circumvent authority. You're trying to go against the very nature that God established. You must be careful. Why? Because it is when you begin to break the laws of God, the consequences of sin must follow. What are you saying, preacher? The wages of sin is death. Most of us begin to, many preachers speak death as going to hell. But I'm going to speak death as a living death. You dying in your body. You dying in your mind. You're dying in your... When we break the laws of God, when we don't do it the way God say do it, our health deteriorates. Our mental capacity deteriorates. When we begin to do things our way instead of the way God has said for us, we're dying as we're living. I want you to think about this for a moment. In the garden, Adam was told, in the day, not if, in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Well, how long did Adam live? Well, Adam and Eve lived over 900 years old. That's a long time. So what was the death? The death was, number one, separation from God. Why? Because it gave them their independence. And so many groups, so many people of with that narcissism want you to declare, but you don't even understand what independence is really about. So you must understand your position. If you're a police officer, you ain't got no business trying to do surgery on nobody. You don't have no medical background, no medical experience. Put the scalpel away. That's right. If you're not a, if you don't know how to work on cars, take it to somebody that do. We must understand our position. And a lot of times the reason why many of us can't advance in life is you so busy focusing on what I'm not doing that you're not doing what you need to be doing either. So we must pay attention to what it is that I'm called to do. I must understand. It's amazing how many times people that's in the world try to tell you, a Christian, not to tithe or not to give an offering, or why are you doing this at the church? Why are you doing that at the church? Why are you a Christian? Are you a born-again believer? But if you're not a born-again believer, how are you going to tell me what it is to believe? Amen. It's right whether they like it or not. You can't tell me how to be a salesman. You ain't never sold me. So we must, number one, we must evaluate that position and title that we hold. Stop wanting the title. It's amazing, and I can only speak from my perspective, how many people say, oh, I want to be a preacher. Oh, I want to be a preacher. You don't want to be no preacher. You want the fame of a preacher. You want the glamour of a preacher. Because when we ask you, oh, I feel God is calling me to preach. Okay, what's your first message? Come on, here's the microphone. Preach your message. And you're, well, I come back next week. Give me about 2 weeks. No. If you are called to preach, then you are ready to preach now. How would it be for you to go to the emergency room and you're bleeding everywhere? And the nurse says, well, I haven't learned how to stop bleeding yet, so like, well, bring me somebody that do. Because if we are to uphold positions and titles, then we must know what them titles really entail. That's point number one. So in buying the truth, we must understand the position and title we hold. That falls in line with the teaching that God gave me in the beginning of my ministry almost 30 years ago. We must know who we are, whose we are, and our purpose. If you haven't evaluated or come to terms with your personal identity, if you don't know the scope of your identity, then anybody can come and tell you anything that's going to be contrary to what you're supposed to really be doing. So evaluate that and know your position and title, what it upholds. Number two, what is it? What is your responsibility that you should be doing in the position? We go on these jobs and we're so busy trying to tell everybody how to do their job till we're not doing our job. As a believer, you should be an asset to any company you go to. Why? Even if you're still learning the position, your attitude, behavior, everything surrounding your responsibilities, they should see you always trying to make an effort. They should understand that your desire is to help that company grow. But unfortunately, what happens so many times is we go late, try to leave early, and then still want full pay. We watch others trying to work. We spend 75% of our time doing 15% of our work, and then the last 25% of the time trying to fix the last 75% of the work and barely get any work done at all. And then want to say the people are not paying enough and they're unfair. Number three, we must understand our real history report. Remember, the truth that I'm seeking for is about me. So it's not about you. So my message, amen, it's not about you. It's about me. It's not about you. It's about me. If I'm to buy the truth, I must understand my position as a minister of God. I must understand my position as a husband. I must understand my position as a father. I must understand my position as an independent businessman. I must understand my position, and then I must evaluate those responsibilities. I must know what those responsibilities are so that I'm able to do them. You know, people that have a knack, that have been cooking at home, they go off to colleges and they go to cooking schools and they learn how to cook better. Why? Because they are now investing in their future. And so we must do that. Number three is our real history report. Some things in our lives are genetics. My My mama had high blood pressure. My father had high blood pressure. I have blood pressure. Now, some things are in our culture. One of the things that when we look at the children of Israel as they come out of Egypt, God knew that they had been abusing their bodies. And so many of the things that began to happen for them dealt with their dietary needs. So them not poor was to help them to preserve their lives. It's not that pork is evil. But if culturally genetic-wise, poor rolls your blood pressure, you're in the desert, you definitely need your pressure under control. That's one of the things you don't need to be trying to eat right now. So many things began to be part of a law because they had to be taught how to break bad habits. They was in a culture that schemed against one another. So they had to be taught how to help one another, how to be just to one another. So many things, so when you don't understand your history, you are prone to repeat the mistakes of your of that history. And the same thing that destroyed them will also destroy you when you don't know. If you don't know that, you know, that side of your family had violent tendencies, then you never go and get the counseling you need to break those tendencies away from you. So what is your real history report? If you don't have a career now, you got to ask yourself, why haven't I built anything? Why haven't I established anything? Well, if you ain't stayed on NAM job more than 6 months, you ain't been with NAM relationship more than 3 months. Ain't nothing wrong with them, per se. It could be very well something wrong with you concerning your ability to commit. What is your real history report? Then we must buy the truth about our personal fears and our personal faith. Our personal fears and our personal faith. What is the truth about that? What do you really fear? And what do you really have faith in? It's amazing how we'll say, "Ooh, my God is rich with houses and land," and then we still want everything free. We still want to beg. We still act like we're broke. Number one, the real history report is I didn't learn money management, so I'm scared to make certain sacrifices that will cause me to stretch my money so that I can have more money. So my real fear, the reason why I'm not an entrepreneur is because I don't trust myself to stay to a budget long enough because I never stayed on a budget. Our real fears and our faith, we must buy the truth about these things. Number five, and this one is very important and is also very sensitive. So by no means am I putting anyone down at all. Matter of fact, once I tell it, then I'll tell my personal testimony. Some of you have heard me give it before. I'm going to give it again after I tell this. Number five, We must buy the truth about our current health status. We must buy the truth about our current health status. I used to run cross country. Now I don't run across the room. Y'all ain't gonna touch. Amen. I used to be able to run 3 miles and rest about 13, 14 minutes, 15 minutes, and be ready to run some more. No, that was then. This is now. I don't need no oxygen, but if I try that now, I may need some. We must tell the truth about our current health status. The reason why we're not able to do certain things is because we have allowed our health to deteriorate faster than it should have, because we didn't eat right, we didn't take vitamins properly, we didn't have the right supplements in our bodies. That means we didn't eat the right nutrients. Whether it happened because we didn't know, or it happened because of we refused. You know, it makes no sense for me to go and get a triple buttery butter. They got that at Sonic. They got a hamburger that they put butter on. Ain't no sense of me going ordering cheese butter biscuit and butter hamburger and then a large Coke with cheese fries and chili. And then turn around and tell you, my doctor said my cholesterol levels are out of control. That helps you. I'm a believe God. And then have the audacity to pray over the food, God remove these calories. There's nothing too hard for you, Lucia Devil. Food was made for the stomach. I'll start quoting, half quoting, and just speaking a bunch of foolishness, ignoring the dangers of our current health status. As it relates to the plan of God for our lives. The Bible said that Jonah was able to complete a task that should have took him 3 days, but he was able to do it in one. Number one, Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, so he was fasting. But I'm quite sure that Jonah was physically fit to run through a whole city preaching a message of condemnation to those who have refused and rejected God's truth. The only way he was able to do that is he had the physical strength to do it. Many things that we are wanting God to do for us are just part of the purpose of God. Can't be able to tie your shoestrings. How are you going to play with your grandchildren? How are you going to be able to do this and that? We must be truthful about our current health status. And even if it's to the point where we're having struggles in our minds, We must seek out the right help and the right counsel so that we have a mental stability. The Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counsel. So we must be true concerning our mental health status. And finally, number six is we must buy the truth about our finances. Stop saying all they want down there at that ministry is your money. Let's be clear. But everyone that have anything of value, it took money to get it. That means it's going to take money to keep it up and to keep it going. So, yes, they want your money. But they want your money as it relates to that vision and that purpose. The Bible tells us that no one builds a house and consider not the cost. For they'll get started and unable to finish and be made embarrassed and been brought to an open shame. How you start building a house and you get the walls up, but you have no more money to put the roof on because you didn't consider the cost. I'm going to take it one more step. How you want to be married and the financial responsibilities that comes with having a wedding and a ceremony and so on. Well, you know, we ain't got to, stop that foolishness already. Because when you still finish, there's still costs involving that. So we must understand that money management is a necessity in understanding my purpose, because if I don't know how to manage money, it don't matter what God has given me to do, I will constantly eat up my seed. I will constantly plant my seed in the wrong ground, in the wrong soil, in the wrong places. You've heard the story about the seed and the sower, that he sowed some on stony ground. Well, if he sowed seeds, he knew that all the seeds need to go into a soil that's been turned over. And so we must understand by buying the truth about our finances. The reason why you don't have a car because you buy a 12-pack of beer every day and smoke a pack of cigarettes every day. If you do the math, and I have no idea what a 12-pack of cigarettes, a 12-pack of beer costs. It's been a long time since I've been a retail manager. But we're talking about a minimum of $20. So if I spend $20 a day and then I eat out, I eat lunch every day, and that's another 10, so that's $35 every single day. Eventually, I'm going to spend some money. So if I do that, $35 every day, And we'll give Sunday a rest, maybe, or Saturday a rest. So if you do that at least 5 times out of a week, that's $175. If you turn around and times that by 4, that's $700. Yes, you could buy your car and afford to put this full cover insurance on it. If you just drop 2 bad habits. And so if we don't tell the truth about our finances, while we don't have what we need, while we keep coming up short, if we don't tell the whole truth, we're going to still be in need when it's all said and done. Now, there's so much more to all of this. But Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. In life, we're going to chase for many things. But in chasing some things, we got to learn how to go after the things that's going to help us have a better way of life, so that we can really enjoy the life that God has given us, fulfill the purpose and why we're here, and have that abundant life. Abundant living belongs to us. We just got to have it. When you ask yourself, how do I buy the truth? It will always require some of our resources, money, time, knowledge. It's going to require that. We got to stop settling for lies that makes us feel good. Stop looking for a 1 or 2 line cliche so that you'll feel good, but you ain't made good. You're still struggling to know where we are strong at and where we are weak at. Why? Because any chain and every chain is as strong as its weakest link. So if you got weak links in your armor, that's where you're going to get wounded at. That's where you're vulnerable at. And so you need to understand that if you got an issue with your temper, you got to make it strong. You got to work on that. If you got a money management problem, stop carrying cash with you because you're going to always spend it. If you got a lust issue, stop staring. Cancel your internet prescription so you can get out from pornography sites. In other words, know what your issues are so that you can overcome your own shortcomings. Know your strengths. Build upon those qualities of strength so that you'll have a successful life. Don't sell your truth. Our truth is priceless. With understanding of our purpose, we must stay committed to it. Stop quitting. Throwing in the towel is not an option. We cannot sell stuff that and things. We can sell stuff and things, but what we should not sell is the truth. Stop looking for someone to agree with you and start looking for someone who will tell the truth about you. Wisdom always or will always cost us. If you want to grow and become more knowledgeable it's going to cost. Read a book. Buy a book. Search the internet for information that is made available to the library. Go to the library. But there's always a way for you to invest in your future. Learn. You say, well, ain't nobody taught me. There are self-help books everywhere for almost every subject. Proverbs 8 and 11. And I'm done for the evening. For wisdom is better than rubies and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. That's how valuable wisdom is. Wisdom is understanding and knowledge coming together in application. And so wisdom is knowing when to activate, when to move, what to move, so on and so forth. The beauty of it is, James said that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. God wants us to have wisdom. He don't want us to be stupid. He don't want us to be dumb. Having faith in God don't mean to be stupid. Having faith in God don't mean to be uneducated. Matter of fact, the more intelligent we are, the more we can validate who God is. Well, that's my lesson for the evening. Facebook, thank you for joining me. Thank you, Debbie, for being there. Thank you, El Cooley. I saw you and a couple more. Thank you all for timing in when you did. God bless you. Maybe you're listening to this after the message. Hey, you can still comment in the sections if you like. I'll go back and look at it in a couple of days. Preferably something was said to encourage you about this topic. Buy the truth and sell it not. More to come concerning this topic all year long. The month of January, we've been dealing with purpose. Purpose, if you don't know who you are, anybody can tell you your purpose. But once you know whose you are and who you are, you will discover your purpose by understanding your identity. And so thank you so very much. I love you with the love of Christ. To my Facebook listeners and family, thank you and good night. And night to our radio listeners. Amen. Missionary Ken, how did you feel about the lesson on tonight?
Amen. And speaking of buying the truth and selling it not, as we all know, the Bible is truth.
Amen.
The Bible is truth, okay, is the truth, okay? And in our blind ministry, that's exactly what we do. We buy the truth by getting large print Bibles, audio Bibles, etc., for the blind. We purchase them, and then we don't sell them back, but we give them into the hands of those who have the need that are visually inconvenienced or totally blind.
Amen. That's good.
And
in fact,
that's a verse that we use very much in our ministry explaining what we do.
That's good. Hello to everyone else that's on the line. How did you feel about the lesson tonight? Do you have any comments about it? Anything you'd like to add? Anything you'd like to subtract?
Well, praise the Lord, Pastor, and the missionary Wolfgang, and to everyone with us now and coming in later. I just want to say I enjoyed the lesson, amen, and got a couple chuckles in between this edification that I needed for my soul this evening, one of which there was a time I used to do the running man, Pastor. I could put it in reverse and skip around all kinds of you know, I couldn't do the helicopter like Missionary Wolfgang, but I could lay down that running man though. However, praise the Lord, I took off those shoes and put on my shoes for Jesus, and I've been keeping a steady pace, big man. So this one is, I enjoyed the lesson, and since I was thinking of it, it made me think of is it Romans, Pastor? How beautiful are the feet of him that bringeth the good things, you know, about peace and good tidings, amen. God bless you, Pastor. Every time we all get together here, and I'm looking forward to Thursday, hearing all the word come together under Ephesians, amen. And I'm just glad to be here. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's back in Isaiah 52. How beautiful. So I think there's one also in Romans too. Romans, let me look that up, make sure. Romans 10. Let me pull that up. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that'll be Romans 10 and 15 there. When it's Romans 10, 14, and 15 that deals with those that preach. It talks about how can they believe in whom they, how can they call on them whom they have not believed, and how can they believe on whom they have not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them, and how can they preach unless they've been sent? For it is written. Mm-hmm. So the statement is, for it is written, the New Testament that's reached back into the Old Testament, which was Isaiah, that reached back to Isaiah 52, but how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Y'all going to make me study. Well, I tell you, y'all gonna keep me on my toes. Y'all make sure I know the Bible. I appreciate it. Yeah, okay, so. Amen. Anybody else? I think someone else. I'm live, but you're welcome to stay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Like.
Hey. El Ruthie's here.
How you doing?
Yeah, I've been listening with intensity, and Kenny is out in the garage, and he's listening with his phone. So just want to pray for Kenny, though. He's not feeling well tonight. He's been coughing for several days, and we're going to have to see if we can get him to a doctor, I think.
Yeah, we got to know the truth about his health. We got to get healthy. Amen. Because it's.
I believe God's a great physician, too.
Amen. Yeah, God is a great physician, but he'll give us some natural things. I was reading that he'll give us some, when it talk about those natural herbs for the healing of our body. There's some things that God made readily available right here on the earth to help us with our, amen. But we've got to know. Like I said, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. And so what you don't know can hurt you. You know, what you don't know. It looked like food. Ask that rat. It looked like food. It smelled like food. It tastes like food. But moments later, he died. Why? Because that 1% of poison in that 99% food was enough to take him on.
Amen.
He got to know.
Plus, I got a praise report, too. I have never had the COVID yet, and I don't ever think I ever will. I praise God. I don't get around people, I guess, that have it. I'm not that much into a lot of social things right now with the weather, so I'm hibernating somewhat.
Can I tell y'all the whole truth? I haven't had COVID. My youngest son had it. Me and my wife still didn't get it. Yes, we did go and get the shot and the booster, but we didn't get it in the beginning. I've been working since the whole pandemic started, have not stopped. We've been going to church. Went in the very heat of it. My brother and myself, we would go, and this was before we got the before Zoom was made available. We would go and do Facebook at the church and have people calling in on the phone, and we still had service. We physically drove from Memphis to Somerville, nearly an hour away, to still conduct service. We didn't stop. We didn't close the doors of the church. And believe it or not, somebody came in. And so we didn't close the house of the Lord. They didn't close the hospital, except for the ones that got packed out.
Amen.
You know, the police station didn't shut down. The church is essential. God is essential. And so the Bible tells us to lay hands on the sick. We're so fearful and we're not thinking. He said lay hands. He didn't say your hands couldn't have a latex glove on it. The nurses come and see about you long before the pandemic, and they put on gloves and saw about you, came and drawed your blood, all kinds of stuff. So we allow COVID to bring fear to us, because people die. But people have been dying from the flu, from pneumonia, a few cases of common cold. I mean, people have been dying for a long time. I got a coworker that's out now because she got double pneumonia. She ain't got, so yeah, she home just like if she had COVID. I mean, at the hospital. So there's still other diseases, there's other illnesses out there, but the focus was so much on COVID, so people were forgetting about all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been having churches open here in Ashtabula, Ohio, here too. I attend this one on West Avenue some of the time, but it's hard for me to get my wheelchair in and out of there now, and may have to use a cane if I visit again. It's just weather is just so nasty because I have to walk over. So it's kind of, it's not real steep right now, but we've had real bad weather for a while there, but now it's like a few inches. But I've seen 2 feet in this town, too, so we have known as the snow belt. Yeah, we've had a lot of snow here before.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, I don't mind the cool weather. I ain't scared of it, but I sure don't want it. So I'm going to stay down here in the south. I'll visit y'all when the snow break away, or if I ever come across some nice skis and a good snow one-piece suit.
And about the only place you could probably do that is up in our cemetery. We have a cemetery that there's a big hill, but other than that, we don't have a lot of hills here, actually. It's funny.
Yeah, and the only way I want to deal with the snow, that I came to play in it. So I can, that means my lawn's going to be real close. So when I finish shaking, I can go on in and dry off and thaw out.
Amen. All right. Excuse me.
You have.
Yes.
What you have?
Good evening, everyone. And
good
thank
evening.
You very much. You said what now?
You have anything you like to add or take away or from the message on tonight?
Oh yes. I enjoyed your message on Proverbs 23:23, and knowing, you know, our purpose, understanding our purpose, and know that we are an asset towards our purpose. And I enjoyed the 6 points that you gave on the message as well. I did miss number 4, but definitely those were good points, and I appreciate that.
Amen. You say you missed what number?
Number 4.
We must know the truth about our fears and our faith, or our faith
okay.
and our fear. Yeah. You know, the reason why you haven't become an entrepreneur is because you don't trust people. That's a big fear.
Okay.
So you got to know whatever they are, you know, and that just means just throwing some stuff out there.
Right.
Proper up things, but I mean, we asked the question one time, if you believe that God will strengthen you to do whatever it is that you wanted to do, what would you do now if you had absolutely no fear of doing it? And it's a question to really make you think, because 1,000 things will run across your mind, and then some of them you like, that don't make no sense. But but
like bungee jumping.
but imagine removing the limitations.
Right.
If you were able to remove your limitations, what is it that you would do? What would you be? Who would you be? Where would you be? You know, so if you remove fear and let go faith, so what, where would you be? And so these things, fulfilling purpose, we must buy the truth of it.
Right.
Not only should we buy the truth of it, but we need to buy the wisdom of it, buy the instruction of it, buy the understanding of it. Every aspect of who we are and what we're trying to do, our titles, our positions in life, who we are in life as a person, as an individual, we need to invest in it. Because here's the truth. We want other people to invest in us, but we don't invest in ourselves. So how can I do more for you than you would do for your own self? And so we must ask, do that even make sense? Do it make sense for me to do, to want you to invest in me, but I won't invest in me?
Right.
The bank won't do it. So, anyway, that's my message for this evening. I know it's a little short. I always run my full two hours, but I am tired. I am sick. Look, I'm telling the truth about my physical health. I got to get back up and a couple hours to be active. I'm tired.
Amen.
I already ate. I done drunk up my little Blackberry Smash Bricks iced tea. I'm going to get some water. I'm going to lay down here on this couch and just let the TV look at me or something. I'm going to turn the light off or something's going to look at me. But it ain't going to be me.
You going to check your eyelids for cracks, Pastor?
I ain't going to need to do that. We're gonna trust they still work like they did yesterday.
Amen.
Yeah, Jav, I think I did that before. Look up in the light and close my eyes and see. Yeah, but I love you all. I'm looking forward to Thursday with Mr. Ken. Ken, you want to give that information and any donation information for the station before I close it out tonight?
Be glad to, Pastor Bonnet. If you would like to help us stay on here, remember, it's free for you to listen to the Six Eyes Radio Network, but it does cost us to keep shows like this on the air, and we would appreciate a love gift from you. There are several methods you can do to give us a love gift. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal, enter the email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Amen.
Amen. What time is the program on Thursday, and what's the lineup?
Okay, on Thursday, that is the Jumbo Braille program, 9 p.m. Eastern here in the good old USA. And the lineup will be right after our opening song and prayer. We will have Dr. Doug Quick opening us up, and then we will have yours truly, Pastor Bonnet. Then he will hand the mic over to me. And then finally, Tim Gruber will close us out as we go into Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 23 to 32, focusing specifically on verse 26. So if you want to look that up early and know where we're coming from, once again, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 to 32, focus on verse 26. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I got my sermon written out already. I'm ready.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's what you call a tag team, guys. You've done it
with
another person before, honey. Remember, it wasn't just four people. There was some other people. I think we did tag team with a person that goes to another church now. But, yeah, we've had fun doing tag teams. It's fun.
Amen. Sister Rosie. Pastor,
you get all them worship, get those Bible verses memorized. It's good, too.
What you said, Sister?
Well, I'm working on Job now. I was going to say, Pastor, before you send us on our way, I just want to ask if I could put, you all haven't met her yet. Her name is Mary, but she lost her mother on yesterday, just before we started church. I wasn't aware until afterward. She lost her mom, and I know we keep in Six Eyes in prayer as well. But I wanted to also say I hadn't heard Sister Emily's voice or Sister Lila's voice here in a couple days. I pray that they both are well also, plus those going through this heavy storm the four-letter word that Missionary Wolfgang doesn't like us to say. but there's much of that. And I just wanted to ask prayer there as well.
That's
yeah,
right.
Emily had a spinal tap on her back, and I think she had another one. So I think she has been resting a little. I don't know if she's been out much in the cold, though. And Lila is in the nursing home. So
well, I did hear from Emily earlier today, and she's doing well. So
praise the Lord.
Yes, Emily called me. She probably a week ago she was dealing with a couple of things, but she knew she had that coming up, and just wanted everybody to pray for that everything would go well with it, with her procedure. So so we just want to just keep her in prayer, keep her on the prayer list, and we pray that God gives her a speedily recovery. She's been dealing with a lot of things concerning her health in general, but I think she's it's been a blessing that she now have her own place, so many of those things can come to rest because she's in a place where she can get back some normal activities and be able to take care of herself a little bit better. So
yeah, she's in a high-rise apartment building. She's on the 8th floor, and she loves it there. They have, like, dinner together. She's in with a bunch of people now, so it's really crowded in there. So she really, I think, has a lot more fun there.
Yeah.
They were both on the radio station today.
Oh, I didn't hear them. Did I miss them?
She don't always say something.
Oh, okay. I'm so used to, you know, the times that I hear, you know, speak out, and especially, you know, towards the end. So thank you for that, Sister Nikhil. Yeah.
Hope you're feeling good, Sister Nikhil. You're looking good, I bet. I have to pray for you, Art, too, because you've had through a lot in the last few months, too.
Yeah. I'm
dealing with these broken bones and, praying for my family in Georgia. My sister found out she has COVID, and thank God nobody else in the house got it, including my mother. We got her test results back today, so thank God she didn't catch it.
That's good.
Yes.
Oh, we need to pray for Six, too. He's got some kind of flu bug or something.
Working
him out. Yes.
Yeah. He got the Apple won't measure up to Samsung bug.
All right. Amen.
All right. He gonna be all right. You know.
Yeah, we're going to have an annual battle of the foams again.
Siri ain't told him no new jokes in the past 2 weeks, so, you know, he going to be awful. you know, they got to update Siri again, so, you know, this next update comes, he going to be awful. I had to back up a couple steps because he felt like all of heaven was just pouring out its fury upon him when all the results start coming down against Apple.
Well, guess what, you all
made the whole two-hour program, so this part of the conversation took us to our end. I pray that you all are healthy enough to go out and to retrieve those things that God has for you out in the land. May you be able to go out to get it and come back with it. As you travel wherever you must travel, may you travel with it. May God cover you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Allow no evil to fall upon you. And it's in this, in Jesus Christ's name, I pray your safety. Until the next time when we come together again in fellowship, God be with you and keep you. Amen and amen. Good night, one and all.
Night, everybody.
Amen. Good night. Love you all.
Love you guys, too.
Good night. God bless.